From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. All year long, we find a variety of music to fall in love with, but we save the loudest for last. Our end-of-the-year tradition is to talk with Lars Gotrich, a lover of music on the fringes, music that explores the outer limits of sonic and textures, from metal to drones and more. Lars is a producer here at NPR Music and a former All Songs Considered intern. I asked Lars Gotrich what he looks for when he listens to something new.
I like to hear that a band has clearly invested something personal and different right from the outset.
So what do you want to kick us off with? We pick something from your top 10.
I'm going to start with the number 9 pick, a band called Sun. And for those who aren't on the website or just hearing
S-U-N-N.
This. S-U-N-N. S-U-N-N. And then there's a little O, and then it has three parentheses after it.
It looks like an illustration, a child's illustration of the sun. And its beams is how I remember.
Yeah, there you go. And if you're a gearhead, you may recognize that because that's an actual amp head. They named themselves after an amp head. Originally made in the 70s, and it's just known for this huge, humongous sound, which is what attracted the two members, Stephen O'Malley and Greg Anderson, towards these amps. And extremely brief history. This band started out as kind of like this drone metal duo where they just would do these 20-minute explorations of feedback and distortion. But in the last 5 or so years, they've really started experimenting more with what it means to drone. I really think that Monoliths and Dimensions finally achieves a lot of what they're looking for. They're looking for this balance between acoustic and feedback drone. So they actually went out to the modern composition and free jazz communities and pulled in all these different musicians, most notably Avind King, who's a violinist and composer. They brought in choirs, they brought in trombone players and everything else, and they kind of achieved this weird cathedral evil drone.
Well, let's listen to a little and come back and talk about some of it.
The name of the band is Sun. This is off the record, Monoliths and Dimensions, and the song we're going to listen to is Big Church.
Thank you. It's got that feel of the throat singers. It really takes you somewhere else. What is it like to see these folks perform live? What happens when you walk out the door? I mean, I just can't imagine.
Well, first, that voice that you heard just before you came in, that's, and I hope I don't butcher his name. His name is Attila Tichar. He's a Hungarian vocalist. He most famously, he sings for a black metal band called Mayhem. They're Scandinavian. But he's been working with Sun for a while. And when I saw Sun live in Baltimore just a couple months ago, first of all, it really changed how I viewed this record, because I was still on the fence about it. And then I saw them live, and, you know, on this record is obviously a huge production.
There's they didn't do that in Baltimore.
Baltimore, they just performed as a quartet, the two guitarists, Steve Moore, who doubled on trombone and synthesizers, and then Attila Tichar. What an incredible spectacle.
I'll ask the question again. When you walk out of the door there.
Well, when you walk...
Can you actually drive home?
Well, that's the thing. They pump the room full of fog. Like, you literally could not see in front of you. And, like, the three members in the back are in hooded robes, so you can't see their faces. And, like, Attila is just the ultimate showman. He had these, like... very extensive costumes. At one point, he even had these gloves, and what came out of the gloves were like laser pointers, and he had put on this crown of swords, and he would reflect the laser pointers onto the swords, and they would refract everywhere into the audience.
And into the fog.
And it's in the fog, and besides just the utter spectacle of it, Attila was actually the star of the live performance. He can do those low throat singing grunts, as you heard. He also has this beautiful falsetto, which really surprised me. And he can do these just ear-piercing shrieks. It's like he's probably one of the most innovative and interesting like metal vocalists I've heard in a long time. And I just got to put a small plug in again for Avon Kang, who arranged the strings and the horns for the record. There's a lot of force in the way he composed those strings, and he came out to be the real star of the record in a lot of ways.
Okay, so that's Sun and Monoliths and Dimensions, the name of the record. Go on. I'm talking with Lars Gotrich. You're picking from your top 10 favorite records that are the outer limits of sound, the records that explore music in a more sonic, adventurous way. That was one of your top 10. Go ahead and pick me something else.
So I got to do full disclosure on this one, Bob.
Okay.
Long-Legged Woman, I have worked, I have released records by Long-Legged Woman on my record label. Two CDRs, which were in limited quantities of 70.
Made a bundle.
and a 7-inch single.
Okay, and that was a few years ago.
No, it was a couple years ago.
But not this record that you're
But not this
about.
Record.
Okay, so tell me about this record. By Long-Legged Woman.
So right before Long-Legged Woman left Athens, Georgia, which is where I knew them from, I went to school with a lot of their members, and left for San Francisco, they recorded this record called Nobody Knows This Is Nowhere. And you will know the reference. Go ahead.
The Neil Young reference to Everybody Knows This
right.
Is Nowhere.
Right. And it's actually a good starting point, kind of, especially if you're familiar with the Live Rust era of Neil Young. So kind of like this crazy psychedelic guitar proto-punk crunch.
Which is 10 years later, but still the beginnings of it happened on Everybody Knows.
Right, and you can actually hear it in Long-Legged Woman's record. They also, you know, clearly love and don't give a damn that they love like Dinosaur Jr. and Nirvana's first record for Sub Pop and Unwound. So it's just kind of like really gnarly, relentless, psychedelic, redneck punk music.
So what do you want to play?
This is Yours Is Mine.
Time.
in many ways, other than the recording, the way it's done, the way it's mixed, it's a really fair, sort of standard fare song. I mean, it's just everything's just cranked so full, and that's what's so great about it. No, I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying that,
yeah,
that really their adventure and their difference is not so much in the song structure, which a lot of these things that you like are real long form, expand time sorts of stuff. This is standard fare.
And they started out as a noise band. Yeah. The records that I alluded to earlier, they were noise records. But then they became this punk rock band. They added two members. They were just a duo when I first met them. But they added two members who are clearly entrenched in thrash and punk. And they became this, like, just in the red punk rock band. And sadly, this is their last record.
And this long-legged woman came out this year.
Yeah, it came out at the very beginning of the year.
Okay, takes it to something else.
All right. At my number six pick is a guy that I've been following for quite a while. He records under the name Son Ara. His name is Cameron Stallones.
Now, this is Son A-R... A-W.
Yes. Knowing him, it's probably he just wanted to be called Sun Ra, but decided to add a few syllables.
Sun Ra, the great, wonderful jazz musician that most of you probably know, but I'm just going to say it anyway.
Yeah. Sun Ra, yes. He's out of Long Beach, California, and this is definitely, what he makes is definitely beach music, but not at all typical beach music.
What do you mean by beach? Beach music could be R&B soul is one reference to beach music. Beach music could be harmonies. And
it's great that you mentioned that because, you know, if you know all those references and the reference, he also makes a reference to Brian Eno's Warm Jets and to Remain in Light by Talking Heads.
I want to hear this.
And, you know, if you know all these references, you're probably already interested, but he pulls this hazy drone over all of it anyway. So there are only hints of these spirits. They're kind of like these, they're echoed praises.
What's the song we're going to play from Son Ara?
All Night Long from the record Heavy Deeds.
Maybe you said this and I don't remember. Is Son Ara just one person doing everything on this? Is that
just one person?
Okay.
When he performs live, he has another dude with him, but it's just all him.
It's quite a world.
I mean, this is probably as cosmic as we're gonna get. I actually played this whole track at a DJ gig in town here. People ate it up. Just because when you pump it up loud enough and you have it on the nice warm crackle of vinyl, it takes you to a headspace.
Well, he's got, I mean, something's gluing it together. He's got that drums and that...
the big fat bass line.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm going to say this, I don't know why, but it felt like We Will Rock You at really, really slow.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, good. What else you got for us, Lars?
All right, we'll go to number four. I want to preface this by saying I'm a proud Georgian. I call Georgia my home, mm-hmm. the South my home. So it has been like a real treat in the past couple of years to see the rise of Georgia-based metal. I mean, just this past year alone, bands like Mastodon, Zoroaster, Black Tusk, Kylissa, all put out incredible metal records, and they're all from Georgia. Most of them from Savannah, which this band is from, Baroness. The Baroness record, I think, sums up a lot of what was happening in Georgia in the past year. It's just these, as a band that was heavy metal band that wasn't afraid to be beautiful, but also wasn't afraid to embrace the classic rock that they grew up on, like early mid-70s kind of rock radio kind of stuff. They clearly, you know, have embraced their southern roots, and you can hear Lynyrd Skynyrd all over this thing, which is great. I've recently become okay with liking Lynyrd Skynyrd. I think it was just being raised in that environment and not knowing what to do with the people that like Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Versus the music itself.
Versus the music itself. Yeah. And I finally said, screw it. I like Lynyrd Skynyrd. So Baroness kind of came in perfectly with that.
Well, what do you want to hear?
Jake Legg from The Blue Record.
Okay. I like that a lot. Do you know, I don't know, the Amboy Dukes, the Amboy Dukes were Ted Nugent's first band.
They, all right.
Their biggest hit, you might know, is Journey to the Center of the Mind.
Okay.
And there's something about that whole build at the beginning that sounded like that. But I must say, sonically, they do stuff with out-of-phase stuff that, with guitar in particular at the top, that made it sound like it was about to come from the back of your head. And that sounded great.
Oh, I bet they'd love to hear that. I mean, they clearly thought about how this record should sound.
Yeah.
Not to knock on a fellow Georgia metal band, Mastodon, but, you know, I think this is the record Mastodon wanted to make. Because Mastodon, they had an idea in mind. They wanted to make this very prog influenced metal record that was, but it was so slick. Whereas these songs, they still sound extremely raw, and they still have like a bunch of energy, but it sounds so good. You can hear everything in the mix.
I think the distinction between a lot of the stuff you like is a big wall of sound where everything is anything and anything is everything. And the fun part is either not worrying about it and just letting the wall hit you like a big wave, or trying to pick out, maybe you do this, maybe you don't, but when I hear the big walls, I try to pick out what is what. Like earlier on one of the songs, I couldn't tell if that was the cymbal crash or if that was the guitar overdrive. You know, I just didn't know.
And that's what's so great. And sometimes it doesn't matter.
That's right. This band, though, is very distinct. And I like that, too. I like the thinness of the guitars that would come out front and really quite amazing. And the drummer was really good drummer. I love that. That was Jake Legg. Baroness is the name of the band. And the name of the album is?
Blue Record.
Great. I'm here with Lars Gotrich. We're talking about some of the music that's more sonically interesting, things we may have ignored all year long. Lars certainly didn't. Lars works for NPR Music. He sits across from me. I hear these things spilling out of his headphones. Don't often know what it is.
I'll be listening to something, and like you said, something will be spilling out of your phones. You'll just kind of turn to me and smile, and I'll smile back knowingly.
Yeah, because I know you're in bliss, and I love that. I mean, we're basically into your top five at this point. What are we up to, number three?
Number three. So here's the problem, because a lot of this music is sometimes relegated to small pressings. This next one was limited to 100 CDRs and was repressed with 100 CDRs.
I see.
So the frustrating thing about this record is that you may not be able to find it right now.
The name of the record is?
The name of the record is Beyond the Valley of Ultra Hits. It's by a Glasgow-based musician named Richard Youngs.
So if there are 100 of these, you heard about this. If people are interested in this kind of music, what are some of the ways for people to start reading about it and finding some of this music beyond you, Lars?
Well, first of all, Richard Youngs is actually, if you're familiar with the Jag Jaguar label, he records records for Jag Jaguar. Mm-hmm. They're usually of kind of like an avant-garde minimalist folk variety. He actually put out one this past year that's in wide release, so you can actually find that one.
Okay.
And it's good. All right, so I originally heard about this album through a friend of mine who's into similar music that I am. So he sent me a link to this blog called Allegory of Allergies. And that would probably be a good starting point if you're interested in this kind of stuff, because there's a nice little blog roll on the left-hand side that will send you to a lot of
Perfect.
Other great places. So Richard Youngs, he's a fascinating character. He makes noise records. He made an electronic dance record this year. He did a straightforward singer-songwriter record. And he was issued a challenge to record a pop record. Like, the idea of this was so fascinating to me and so fascinating to my friend that he had to share it with me, just because he has this whole sonic world in his head. He can't stop making music.
So even though it's a pop record, even though it's in short form, you're saying it's going to be interesting because this guy's just got it in him to make a sonically rich record.
Right. You just know that he's going to do something different with it.
Good.
And
well, let's hear some of it.
Yeah, definitely. So this is a song, Collapsing Stars.
Seeing spirals in the sun and thoughts.
Do you know, Lars, do you know the record Wrong Way Up, the Eno Kale collaboration?
No, I haven't heard that one.
I'll trade you.
Okay.
You give me this and I'll give you that.
All right.
Because this totally, first of all, the accent reminded me of John Cale's accent and everything about it, the structure of the song, the richness in the tone, and the poppiness of it reminded me of the Eno Kale collaboration. It's a really successful, hardly heard record.
Oh, so, yeah, I'd love to hear that.
Good. This will be fun. I like this record a lot. This is Richard Young's Collapsing Stars, Beyond the Valley of Ultra Hits.
Right. So, Richard Young's, if you're out there, this needs a wider release.
Now, this isn't on Jag Jaguar.
No, it was released on a small CDR label called Sonic Oyster.
Okay, Jag Jaguar, if you're out there.
This needs to happen.
Okay. Jim O'Rourke is your number two pick.
We all
love Jim O'Rourke, know his production work for sure.
I mean, you know, produced records for Sonic Youth
and Wilco,
and is just kind of an audio engineer extraordinaire in general.
Right.
But his records are always something to look forward to. And this record took a long time to make it. It's called The Visitor.
One song.
It's one 40-minute song. No vocals. Which, at first, I was disappointed because I love Jim O'Rourke's lyrics. They're so wry and pithy and very clever, but he did a great interview with the Onion AB Club this past year about this record. And it's fascinating to read and discover how much of an endless perfectionist this man is. Just the level of detail that goes into everything that he does and how he just hates everything that he makes.
And this is hundreds of sounds went into making this.
200 tracks.
200.
And he recorded them all himself. It's guitar, piano. He learned how to play the trombone in his tiny apartment in Tokyo where he's been living for the past 3 years. What I read, he learned how to play it when his neighbor wasn't home and then recorded it.
That's very courteous. That says a lot about his personality.
It really does. I could say that there's nothing like The Visitor, but if you know Jim O'Rourke's past catalog, like Eureka and Insignificance and some of his noise records and improvisation records, this record makes total sense. I kind of made an excerpt from this 40-minute track, I think demonstrates a lot of what is happening with it. So I think we should listen to that.
Great. Thank you. The section we're hearing here is acoustic guitar and some really nice ambient sounds. I can't tell what they're made of. It could be rubbing the rims of wine glasses
on violins, yeah. And probably wine glass rubbings, yeah. And things of that nature.
And where's it head us?
And I mean, the fascinating thing, it sounds like a through composed piece. But the transitions are so organic. Jim O'Rourke, in this Onion AV interview, he sees music as a problem that needs to be solved.
You mean a way to get from a point A to B?
Or point A to point, yeah. F.
That is the fun part. I mean, you make music too, but that's the fun part of making music too, where you make something and you say, okay, now what? How do I get where? And it can be that problem.
Yeah, and that's how The Visitor was made. So we hear this ambient part with the John Fahey-like guitar stuff, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden it kicks into this mountain beat with the lap steel, and it becomes this joyous, rapturous piece of music.
Great, let's hear some of that.
Yeah.
Do you feel when you've heard the 38 minutes, whatever it is, do you feel like you've heard a beginning, middle, and an end?
I think this is the most narrative work that Jim O'Rourke has ever made.
Okay. That's terrific. And it's called The Visitor. Mm-hmm. Your number two, I'm talking with Lars Gotrich, his number two record for records that he loved that would sort of push the outer limits of the sonic landscape, soundscape that we all love to listen to, and he more than most people I know. So we get to number one, and what's that going to be for you this year?
Once again, it is Crowless.
Wait, was that last year?
Last year, my number one record was Crowless.
What's next year?
Crowless.
And Crowless is K-R-A-L-L-I-C-E.
Yes.
I don't even know what, does it mean something? I meant to ask you that last
year. It's a word they made up.
Okay.
I think. It just sounds metal.
Yeah, it does.
So Crowless, they're a metal band based out of New York, and what attracted me to their self-titled debut last year was the two principals behind it, Mick Barr and Carl Marston, who are members of kind of like the avant-garde metal community. But I saw Crowless this past summer. I saw them perform at Gallery 5 in Richmond. I drove all the way out to Richmond just to see this show. And they didn't perform songs off the self-titled debut, which bummed me out at first. I was like, I want to hear songs from the record that was like one of the greatest things I'd ever heard in the black metal landscape. But then they performed two brand new songs that were going to appear on this record, Dimensional Breakthrough. There was so much power behind the music they were making. And there's a small strain of music writers right now, most notably Brandon Stussy, who writes for Stereo Gum, who believe that the American black metal landscape is undergoing this kind of renaissance. Black metal, for listeners who may not know, is a genre of metal that kind of came out of Norway, most famously in the early 90s. If you're curious about it, there's a great documentary that just came out called Until the Light Takes Us.
And if you could characterize the sound, what distinguishes the sound, not just its location, but...
Basically, imagine taking the worst amplifiers imaginable, the worst recording equipment imaginable, and making just extremely fast metal. It's kind of like the guitars buzz, like the riffs are barely discernible. The term they always use is buzzing guitar sounds. Mm-hmm. And the drums are really fast, and the vocals are shrieked, like they're a high-pitched shriek. There's been a fascinating movement in America who takes a lot of the sonics of of Norwegian black metal, but then they've kind of invigorated with their own kind of sound. They're more interested in American forms of music and bringing them into them. So you hear a bit more punk, you hear a bit more post-rock. There's a lot more ambient stuff going on. And Kralis, I really think along with Wolves in the Throne Room and Noctemystium, are kind of at the forefront of this. And they kind of came out of nowhere, which is kind of the great thing about it.
So why don't you take us out on something? And this is from the new Kralis record called...
Dimensional Bleed Through.
Great. Thanks for doing this, Lars. And you can see the whole list of your top 10. We'll put that online, and you'll be able to hear just about every, if not every, song on the list. And also, if you want to see how Lars winds up picking his list, just as much fun as the music, there's a blog post on the All Songs Considered blog where you can see his little cut-up bits of paper that get moved around. It's kind of a fascinating thing, and Lars, you talk about that process. We all have our weirdnesses, and that's one of yours, and I love you for it.
And that'll be, I mean, that'll be right on this page.
At npr.org/music. Look for Lars Gotrich, Gotrich, if that's one way that you can search for it. I'm Bob Boylan. Happy New Year, everybody. Thanks, Lars.
Thank you, Bob.
For NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered.